now, live from Portland, Rick Emerson. He's back only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 2 minutes and 23 seconds after the hour 12, and this is the month of December in the year of our Lord, 2003. Thank you for coming by. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Live in the studios of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. We're here with Sarah Dillon, F. Matt Peterson, Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom. We've got much to get through today. None of it on actual paper, because not one, not two, three different printers in the building today have all ceased working simultaneously because Jesus hates you.
Well, one was already not working.
All of us. Well, one was already... See, this is the funny thing. Like, I always thought that that thing about the PC load letter, that, you know, whatever it is that Michael Bolton says in Office Space, I always thought that that was just sort of like a gag. Like, he just... Like, I know printers don't work, but I always thought that that specific message was something that Mike Judge has fabricated for the film. Not so much, as we found out. We came in this morning, and this one in the back was, like, full-on smoking. There's, like... I mean, it's not a case of, like, why does it say paper jam when there really was. The paper was all, like, bound up in the back, but, like, the gears are continuing to, it's all, like, on fire. And so then there's this backup printer next to it, and the backup printer just looks, I mean, the backup printer just looks like, it's just come all apart. It's just the inside is now on the outside, and the outside is on the floor. And so then we're all printing to this one up by the front desk, so now everybody in the building... And this, I'm sure this happens wherever you are, where there's like five different printers scattered throughout the office to sort of evenly distribute the workload. One by one, they all go down on the same thing. It's like some bad Emilio Estevez movie or something, where they all get together on one day and they just, screw the humans, let's not print anything today. Down with the tyranny of the flesh! You know, and all the printers get together and they decide just to go boobs up for a whole day. It's nothing works, so we're all now printing to this one... shoddy-ass machine up by the front desk where Jolie is, right? So now there's 500 pages a minute trying to be printed through there. So the queue fills up in like 30 seconds, backs up, immediately crashes every computer in the building. I'm just saying. And I don't know if it's like some rule or something that every tech support guy on Earth has to be equipped with the following answer. No, it's the printers of all... The printers are rising up against us. They're bringing down humanity. We can't get anything done. Nothing works.
Well, I'm kind of busy. So let me know if it happens again. And we'll try to get somebody over there sometime next week.
You know, and then it's...
it was Monday.
And that's it. Today is sometime next week. Today is next week. Because it was... Last week was today. And you know what I'm... Anyway, all right, well, what am I doing here? Oh, in any event, coming up later on today, CNN radio correspondent Dick Giuliano is going to talk to us about the unlikely scenario of the Pentagon paying too much for something, apparently, earlier this year. Later on, we got Peter Carlin, TV critic from the Oregonian. In honor of the birthday of one Francis Albert Sinatra, we're going to be doing the top five Frank Sinatra songs of all time. That's coming up later on today. Your phone calls, Jolie from the front desk, et cetera, so on and so forth. 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. It's a Rick Emerson Show. We're moments away from Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom. This is the Vandals. It's my first Christmas as a woman on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
With Christmas upon us, it's time to be honest. Follow my dreams and the face. A life of delusion and gender confusion that no longer will be the case.
I never wanted army men or basketballs. I only wanted pantyhose and Barbie dolls. And dressing up in mother's clothing. My whole life I've been feeling only feminine. It always seems so useless trying to be a man. Now that's a ghost of Christmas past. And now it feels like the very first time. 'Cause it's gonna be the very first time.
first time that Christmas feels right to me. And I know that I'm looking good, just like a real girl should. It's my first Christmas as a woman. I reconstructed all my genitals, and now I'm waiting underneath the mistletoe for a guy who can love a girl like me. I took the hormones and I got my breast. This season's gonna be the best to me. I won't have to tuck it behind me since I got my brand new vagina. It's my first Christmas as a woman.
Just news. It's news with Tim Riley, live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
I don't know what to say.
Merry Christmas, plastic genitals!
Sorry.
That was good, wasn't it?
Who sang that song
That's
again?
That's the Vandals.
That's off of Oi to the World.
Why, that was entertaining.
That's courtesy of Sarah Dillon, who brings us all the good penis chopping songs here at the Rick Emerson Show.
Well, a Utah man may have taken the power of the cheese too far. A Cedar City man's accused of assaulting another man with a block of cheese. The victim was struck in the face with the cheese. They say the assailant was intoxicated at the time. He was charged with misdemeanor intoxication and misdemeanor assault and booked in Iron County Jail at $1,100 bail.
Being hit with it, there's a joke. It's one of those things, one of those stories where if like I had like 20 more minutes, I'd come up with something really funny. There's a pun there somewhere. Hit with cheese. Cheese log, cheese slice, cheese something, Swiss. And I don't know what it is. See, somebody will email it to me, like some dude will email me the appropriate pun for that story. So when you find that, just pass it along, because I know there's a joke buried inside that news clip somewhere.
Well, a 15-year-old used a loophole in her high school's enrollment system to permanently check herself out of school earlier this month. Shoshana Akian fooled both her mother, Kim Curry, and school officials. Her mom says Shoshana was truant for more than a month from Eagle Point High School. Curry, a working mother, said she first thought, how could I not know? But her daughter talked about homework daily, and Curry had no idea until Shoshana confessed to her. She'd been recently living with her father in California, she explained. She couldn't make any new friends and decided life would be better if she didn't go to school. She didn't like biology either. So she took the school's enrollment drop form to her teachers and had them sign her out of class. The form did not require a parent's signature.
Excellent.
The principal says it does now.
Man, I used to do that. I don't know if you all did this, but did you ever just spend hours and hours and hours practicing how to forge your parent's signature only to realize it didn't really matter?
No.
Because the people at the office don't care. Whoever works at the front desk of your high school, they don't care. You know what it is? It's like, I've always said this, it's like if you're trying to return something to like a Woolworths store or something, you're returning something to like a Five and Dime, some cheesy department. You know, it doesn't matter. You agonize over needing your receipt or something. The person behind the counter makes $5 an hour, doesn't have enough personally invested in there to quibble about it. They'll do whatever you need them to do just so you'll leave them alone. So it is at the front desk of the high school, man. They're not going to bother to verify their signature. It's all the only thing they ever did to us if we cut class at school was they had this automated system. The teachers would take the attendance on one of those little bubble sheets, like you use for the SATs. Isn't that what they use on the SATs, or you use the number two pencil? Yeah. And so they would fill out the attendance on a bubble sheet. They would bubble your name in if you were absent. And then later they'd feed it into a computer, program at the front desk. And there was an automated dialing system. They would call your house later that night at like 7 o'clock, and you would answer the phone, and this tape recorder that was the football coach would say,
Your student was absent from one or more classes at Tarrant High School today. At the,
you know, but we eventually figured out what that was. We figured out it was just a cassette tape. And so somebody from the AV club had the foresight to just go into the office one day and walk over to the cassette tape and just erase it and just put it like something blank in there. And so it's like for the rest of my senior year, man, it's like you cut school all you want. Nobody ever found out. Nobody was ever the wiser for it. So these things are a lot easier to sort of hack than you might think, kids. So word to the wise.
I mean, I remember when I was in school and I'd forget my tie, and you'd have to go to the office and rent one for $5. After a while, I was such a, you know, a steady customer, she just gave it to me for free.
Hey, don't you own the, isn't that like a rent-a-center where after a while, I mean, you have to pay 600% markup, but you own the tie eventually?
No, you gotta bring it back. You can only rent it for the day.
Dave Paul was telling me he got kicked out of the Rainbow Room in New York one time because he wasn't dressed properly.
He hasn't told me that story.
No, it's because we were talking about New York, and he went there one day, and he had a tie, and he had the top coat and everything, but he still, like, the woman took, like, he tried to get into the Rainbow Room right before they were closing it, and the woman took one look at him and wouldn't let him in. And he said he had the tie, and he had the full-on get-up on, but she turned him away at the door. So, here's Tim Riley.
Time now for the Bush one.
He's the president in residence. He's kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, that's my Bush. Life is hard. That's the price of fame when you're president.
Everyone knows your name.
Hey, what's that thing? It's my Bush. I can't believe he's actually in the White House. That's our man. That's my Bush.
Well, Donald Rumsfeld says, as far as he knows, there is no overpayment to any company, but a Pentagon audit has found that Halliburton, well, we all know what it is, may have overcharged military up to $61 million for gas that a subsidiary delivered as part of a contract to Iraq. Meantime, Senator Joe Biden asks, how could this be?
Makes us look like such fools, and makes the president look like such a fool. And he's no fool. No bid contracts, and then they take, I don't know the truth of that assertion, that they've taken advantage of it. But if it did, it turns out to prove two things. One, we need everybody in there we can to help bid competitively to rebuild Iraq. I met with Mr. Chirac for an hour and a half. They're ready to help as the situation is changing, so the president is reaching out. And I just don't get this notion why we continue to treat Iraq like we won a prize. This is no prize.
So the president, moments ago at a press conference, asked what he's going to do about Halliburton.
I expect anybody doing business with the United States government to be transparent and to give the taxpayers a good return on their money. That's what I expect. And if anybody's overcharging the government, we expect them to repay that money.
You know, Kenneth Lay.
The thing is, taking over Iraq is sort of like, you know what it is? It's kind of like going on The Price is Right, and then you win the Showcase Showdown, and they give you the car, and it's like an 87 Yugo that has three bad tires and is leaking badly out of the, you know, like the camshaft or something. And you got to tow it home, like behind your cousin's Ford, you know, it just sits in your driveway for a long time while you try to, you know, like, raise the money to fix it.
So now he's got to send Jim Baker over to Europe to, Paris and Germany to talk these people into forgiving debts to Iraq.
And that mission is to encourage countries to forgive debts so the Iraqi people can more easily grow a nation that is prosperous and peaceful. And Jim Baker, we're fortunate to have Jim Baker agree to serve our country. We're fortunate he decided to take time out of what is an active life, but one out of the press, and one that's probably not nearly as stressful as it has been when he's been involved in public service, to step forward and serve America.
Do you suppose that we could just get somebody to play the president from now on in these press conferences so we could at least have sound bites that are less excruciatingly painful, slow, and awkward to listen to? If we could just get he can even still be the president, I don't care. He can continue to be in office, but we could just get, you know, like for, you know, today the part of George W. Bush will be played by Oliver Platt, you know, or whoever. Just get, you know, Conrad Bain today will play the role of just anybody but him.
And that's today's Bush Watch.
All right, there's your Bush Watch. We'll do this. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk today. KFTK. Stay there.
That's my Bush.
Rick Emerson, live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, Sarah Dillon has the traffic.
Yes.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or at toll-free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. Coming up later on this hour, CNN radio correspondent Dick Giuliano is going to be here. We've got Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. Today's top five. It's all coming up. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
Well, the cops are investigating whether singer Bobby Brown violated his probation on a prior drunk driving conviction. He was charged with battery after an alleged fight with his wife, Whitney Houston, on Wednesday. If a violation is found, investigators say it could send Brown back to jail. He remains on probation till February 2005 following a DUI conviction in January. He's scheduled to appear at a preliminary hearing on January 7th.
I wonder if they just have some cell that they just rotate him and Robert Downey Jr. out of, you know, Gary Coleman, Todd Bridges. Just one room.
Well, no, because Bobby's back in Atlanta. He's got his own place. So he doesn't have to share it with anybody else.
If only Pat St. Clair didn't think I was so mean, we could actually have her on discussing this story.
Well, Houston called 911 telling dispatchers that her husband slapped her across the face during a heated argument, which left her bruised and bleeding.
Ma'am, I'm at, what's the address? 1014 Tullamore.
Repeat that for me. Repeat the address, ma'am. Hello?
Better yet, why don't you sing the address in that ear-shattering wail of yours? Why does Whitney Houston even need to call the cops? Doesn't she strike you as the kind of woman that's probably got a lot of guns just laying? Doesn't that seem like the sort of couple that's got 15, 30 guns just sitting around the living room for no readily apparent reason? I mean, and also, never mind. I'm not saying you should slap Whitney Houston. I'm just saying, you know, every time I see her on MTV, every time I hear her music, it's just, you know, you kind of feel that compulsion to, you know, just to whack her upside the head. Just whatever it takes to make her stop singing. But that's just me.
Well, the cops say that when Brown walked into the station yesterday, he appeared calm and was accompanied by his attorney and famous wife. The couple was described as being lovey-dovey.
Strolled in, but he walked in accompanied by Miss Houston. They were holding hands. Some even said they even kissed several times.
Meanwhile, Courtney Love appeared at a Beverly Hills court yesterday, only to learn a hearing on felony drug possession has been postponed. After leaving court, Love had a run-in with a man who accused her of killing her late husband, Kurt Cobain. She made an obscene gesture and said, quote, "You suck so bad," unquote. After more questions from onlookers, Love told the crowd, quote, "You so need to go away," unquote. She's charged with possession of two prescription painkillers, arrested in October after police caught her breaking windows at her boyfriend's L.A. home. Hours later, police took her into custody at the hospital after a medical emergency. She lost custody of her and Cobain's daughter after the arrest.
Oh, she did?
That's what it says here.
Oh, see, because I thought that they left, what's her name, Frances Bean or whatever, with her. I didn't know that. Because that was what. I'm getting this all confused now. Because she was arrested like a month ago for having a bunch of Xanax and heroin and crap, right? Isn't that her?
Yeah.
Okay. And yeah. Then they left the daughter with her now, and so now she's been arrested again?
No, this is the same one.
Same address. God, man, you talk about the case of just somebody turning into a pumpkin again when midnight strikes, you know? Remember for like 6 months, she was really glamorous and had it together and seemed like she'd sort of, like for, it was almost possible, there was a small window of time when it was almost possible to believe that that whole business of being just a white trash freak was sort of a put on or some sort of an act, and that she really sort of left it behind and become a cultured, sophisticated actress and Hollywood starlet. And it's really clear, I mean, it's like I always say, man, it's like you can try to leave those tiny little horrible hick towns, but it's like eventually the hand comes out and it grabs you and pulls you back into where you came from, and that's what's happening to Courtney Love right about now. You can sort of see it happening before your eyes, you know?
Take the girl out of the trailer park.
That's what I'm saying, man. It's like eventually the prince just, you know, turns himself back into a frog. That's exactly what's happening.
Well,
right,
she's the Tonya Harding of the music world.
Yeah, she... She really is. Truer words were never spoken. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show CNN radio correspondent Dick Giuliano. How are you, my friend?
It's been too long, my friend.
It really has. What have you been doing with yourself?
Well, just watching this Halliburton situation in Iraq.
You know, it's almost hard to believe that something corrupt happened at Halliburton, because they seem like such a clean, level-dealing organization. This is, correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, I don't sound stupid here, but when they say, first of all, they got a no-bid contract,
mm-hmm.
what I sound an obvious question, but what does that mean?
Most government contracts are subjected to bids in that they have to be opened, publicly announced, so that all companies have a crack at the government business. This one was a no-bid contract, and the reason that is has to do with security clearances, that Halliburton was cleared for some of this work, for the security level of the work, ahead of time, and consequently the bid was put through without, the contract was put through without bids.
And so the government came to them, or they came to the government, or they were just kind of the only ones
who
were...
You know, one way or another, it was just kind of acknowledged that Halliburton would do this job of rebuilding the oil pipeline structure or the oil field structure in Iraq.
Just on a kind of pragmatic political level, then I think at some point somebody on the Bush re-election campaign team is gonna look around and decide that maybe it's not such a hot idea to have Halliburton so closely tied to government operations like this.
It is former vice president, rather it is Vice President Cheney's former company. So, you know, they're clearly tied to the Bush administration. But, you know, what the administration is saying about this latest thing, that Halliburton may have overcharged the government $61 million for fuel oil in Iraq, is that a routine audit uncovered it at the Pentagon, that the problem will be corrected. And the administration doesn't feel it's getting any bad fallout. But, boy, the Democrats are jumping on this, the presidential candidates, saying that this is warmongering, that they're overcharging the U.S. taxpayers, and that it's wrong.
It seems we've got all of these companies who were, you know, the reconstruction and the rebuilding of Iraq, and now there's this business of the countries that opposed action in Iraq are now barred from this. Is it true, though, and I misheard this, it doesn't seem like it could possibly be true, is it true that not only are we asking certain nations who opposed the war not to get any bid, or we're telling them they can't get any business there, but not only can they not make money there, we're asking them to forgive all kinds of Iraqi debt.
Yeah, that's true. The timing has not been really good in that this word came out that Canada, France, Russia, and Germany would not be eligible for prime contracts. And it comes at a time when former Secretary of State James Baker is being sent on a mission by the White House Monday to where else? France, Russia, Canada, and Germany, to ask them to forgive Iraqi debt. So the timing is not good.
It's a tried and true Washington tactic of
it's one
of,
hand not you know it's one hand not knowing what the other hand is doing. Basically, this announcement about these countries not being eligible for the prime contracts came out of the Pentagon, and reportedly President Bush had telephoned Canada. Chrétien, the outgoing prime minister, said, "Hey, don't worry, we're going to get Canada some of these contracts." But you know, the timing's also bad in Canada. They just appointed a new pro-American prime minister who says he wants to work with the United States when word came out that the United States would not have Canada eligible for some of these prime contracts.
Well, it's entirely likely that I just have a much darker view of political machinations than some folks, but is it the conventional wisdom that it is simply bad timing, not a public smacking around to some of these countries?
You know, it's a good question, and you know, it's really, really hard to tell. Some people see this as retribution, but you know, there's been a lot of criticism from within the Republican Party. Like Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist says, you know, what are you all doing? This is not the right thing to do. A lot of times, Rick, honestly, I've been in Washington such a long time, and it's always easy to, you know, kind of blame government for these things. But a lot of times, it's just the people who are there. They're sometimes like ham and eggers, just like you and I are, and people screw up.
Yeah. Well, it's almost hard to believe. Thomas, given the evidence in the last week, that's almost hard to fathom.
Well, maybe I'm putting the best face on it. I don't know. But
No. I got to tell you though. I mean, it's you'd think that the Pentagon, when they said this morning that the Pentagon may have been overcharged by $60 million, it's like at this point I've become so jaded about it as an American taxpayer. The idea that the Pentagon's going to pay 9 million% markup on something. You know, it just doesn't even faze me anymore. There's CNN radio correspondent Dick Uliano. There you go. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
When they're buying freedom and liberty,
yep.
They look at it that way.
You can't put a price tag on that.
No. Remember 9/11. Ralph Nader is seriously thinking of running for president again and doesn't think of himself as a spoiler.
Well, you can't spoil a political system that's spoiled to the core.
Way to go.
Running for office is the highest form of political free speech, and while people may disagree and challenge and argue, no one should ever say to anybody, do not run.
So it could happen.
Well, and he I'm all for it. I'm all for anybody gets in there and mucks up the works. That's what I like, man. I like people that are just in there, just a stick in the spokes. People just get in there and just what does John McClane say? A monkey in the wrench, a fly in the ointment. And that's what Nader is. He's just a big colossal. I don't understand why people dislike him so much. I got somebody, man, in the 2000 election. You know, we were talking up Nader because we thought he was, you know, a pretty good guy, and the people just could not wait to ream on him. I mean, from the left as well as the right. And I've never understood the colossal problem people have with that guy because he's a great, huge, big. Thumb in the political establishment eye, which I think we can all agree is sort of necessary from time to time. You know, I mean, you can't really write the guy off either as a factor. I mean, he got 50,000 votes in Florida. 50, you know, in a state that Bush won by, you know, depending on which county you believe in, Bush, you know, won by 300 votes at one point. And, you know, Nader got 50,000 of those things. So, I mean, that's a guy they're going to have to show a little bit of deference to. So, if nothing else, perhaps it'll drive the Democrats to not be such spineless pussies all the time.
Well, a woman accused of having sex with her 11-year-old son and 9-year-old daughter claims her religious beliefs made her do it. This isn't Utah. This is Vegas. Marjorie Renee Escarino is standing trial in Vegas on 16 criminal charges, including sexual assault, lewdness, incest, and kidnapping. She's accused of forcing the children to engage in sexual acts with her and a male friend after moving with the children from North Carolina to Vegas. Oh, she's from the South. Okay.
Well, okay, there you go. It's all cleared up now.
She's 32. And she is deemed mentally competent to stand trial. She's just from the South.
You know, there's certain people that just ought to be taken out back and shot. You know, I don't like to say that, but, you know, there's certain elements of the gene pool that are just, you know, the mean IQ is going to shoot up like 30%. You just take people out back and just put them in a shallow ditch. You know what I mean? She can't even argue that point. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Later on, we got, Grave Watch today.
Jackson
Watch. And a Jackson Watch. It's all in the way. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk today. KFTK, here's Social Distortion.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Coming up later on today, we got the Jolie from the front desk with How Chicks Think. Also, today's top five Frank Sinatra songs of all time in honor of his birthday. Little Ren and Stimpy news coming up as well. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
Time for the Jackson Watch.
Here's your Jackson Watch for Friday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Michael Jackson's family says the pop star was physically mistreated during his arrest last month on child molestation charges.
Well, nothing like feeling like you're at home.
Jermaine Jackson said his brother has picture proof of mistreatment at the hands of arresting authorities and that it'll come forth soon with the evidence. While Jackson would not elaborate on the kind of abuse his brother suffered, he did tell Dan Abrams of MSNBC that Santa Barbara County authorities need to be investigated. He said, quote, "They say they treated him like a king." What king? Rodney King?
Who wrote that for him?
Yep.
That's terrible.
That is terrible. Family friend Stacy Brown also told Abrams that Jackson suffered a dislocated shoulder as the result of the arrest. He said family members told him that the pop star was taunted and locked in the bathroom on the day of his arrest, probably without his makeup bag.
Who is this? Who's claiming this?
Family friend Stacy Brown.
But so it's not actually anybody from the family?
No.
Stacey Brown, is this that same nitwit that was holding that ad hoc thing in the park?
No, that was somebody with some funny name, like Pringle or something like that.
Some Pringles guy. I don't know. Look, I mean, okay, there's not a lot I know in this life, all right? There's very few things that I know absolutely and with any degree of, assurance. But I can tell you this right now. I will bet you all the money in my pockets, it gets all the money in your pockets, that no one was treated better when he got taken in by the cops than Michael Jackson. You know, every goddamn television news camera on Earth is outside the police place. The freaking Inquirer had cameras inside the hangar when he got off the plane. You saw the last week's Inquirer, because the plane docked into the hangar sort of phallic style and sort of ejaculated Michael Jackson out onto the stairs where he was, then taken into, well, it's true, and then taken into the limit, but they had pictures of that. He's got, I mean, whatever his personal financial liabilities may be, he's got high-powered legal help, he's high-profile, they handle that guy with the most kid-like of gloves. So that is a bunch of crap. We can say that absolutely and positively right now. That's a big load.
I mean, you doubt they had them, like, scrubbing the bathroom floor with Comet or something like
that.
Well,
Siri, it's like Rodney King. You know what I mean? There's no one who gets treated by the police better than Rodney King at this point in time. Rodney King that we've already seen, we've seen several examples of this already. The Rodney King drove his SUV 100 miles an hour into some guy's house about 6 months ago, and the cops were just like, we're not arresting him. Go home. You know, let us escort you home, Rodney. It's like that guy can do whatever he wants for the rest of the time. That's a bunch of crap.
Meanwhile, Michael Jackson's parents are defending their son. In an interview on 2020, which you'll see tonight at 10, Catherine and Joe Jackson say child molestation charges against their superstar son are false. Joe Jackson condemns any legal attempts to remove Michael Jackson's three kids from Michael's custody.
I'm not going to let nobody take those kids. They're Michael's kids. They has no right to try to take those kids. It's going to be a big mess over that.
Michael Jackson's mother, Catherine, also condemns any move to take the kids away.
Because that would be really mean for them to do, just take his children from him like that for nothing. It's not right. They're just trying to humiliate him. It's not right.
And that's today's Jackson Watch.
Laura Bush's hair, it's like she doesn't actually have her own hair. It's like she's wearing a hat made out of someone else's hair. It's weird. It's like she's got this weird half eggshell shaped thing that's been made out of, oh God, and then they keep cutting it to Candy Crowley, who looks like Chris Farley with a freaking wig on. I mean, look, I realize it's tough being a woman in a man's world, getting ahead, being judged by your looks and so forth, but Jesus God, I mean, could you
it's
just...
It's not just women. You judge everybody by their looks.
Yeah, but I'm just saying...
I mean, she looks like she belongs on Northwest News Channel.
She really does. Or, you know, losing to Hulk Hogan somewhere in, like, a ring. I mean, she's just, it's a bad idea to point a camera at Candy Crowley. I'm sure she's a fine journalist. I'm sure there's many things that she's good at.
Maybe a softer lens would help.
Maybe if you put the lens cap on, it would help. okay, here's Tim Riley in the KFTK Newsroom.
Well, here's Nikki. The other half of the Hilton sister duo is coming to a television near you. The New York Post says Nikki Hilton recently told Access Hollywood she is developing her own television show. We can barely wait. She tells the syndicated program, quote, it's a talk show, pop culture show, music, sports, fashion, and a little bit of everything. Apparently, it's not being done now anyway.
So no one's actually decided what it is. That's
no, she
a development
has a development deal.
A development deal.
She drives Nikki by the studio twice a month, and nothing yet.
Nikki Hilton, could you sound sleazier? It's like if you're, you know, if you want to absolutely...
She's better looking than Paris.
Well, how could she not be? Paris looks like she's been beaten repeatedly in the face with a heavy, blunt garden trowel. Paris Hilton is... And I'll tell you that, and that... I'm going to make this point for... The 100th, and let's hope it's the final time that I have to say this. Here's the thing. Paris Hilton, you see her on TV, you see her, you know, walking around in front of a camera somewhere. She's not good looking. As someone else noted, she looks like Big Bird, and that is with makeup, filters, airbrushing, probably cosmetic surgery at this point in her life. You gotta figure that, they're doing everything they possibly can to make her look good, and that's the best they can do.
No, I'm with you on that now. I mean, I was watching a rerun of The Simple Life last night, and just looking at her, she is not an attractive girl.
The raw materials are just not there to make somebody really attractive, okay? There's a certain basal point that you're not gonna be able to get above. So, and you know, and you gotta wonder if like, and that's, it's gotta be especially tough if you're rich and then you spit out some daughter that's just a, you know, a yak. I mean, that's gotta make you
feel
unhappy.
She's got her body working for her though.
Got her body working.
Being anorexic and all.
I was gonna say, what with the vomiting and the so forth. It's like Ali Hilfiger. Especially her dad who's so fashion conscious. Oh, we're gonna have a beautiful baby. Ah, Christ. You know, and it's like, you wonder if
we got a buck-toothed little dumbass girl.
Yeah. Even if he was tempted just to kill her and start over. You know what I mean?
She's no Candy Crowley.
No, she's really not. Oh, God. All right. Well, in any event, what were we doing?
Well, let's talk about America's girl, Elizabeth Smart. Her father, Ed, says his daughter is readjusting to life as a teenager after a 10-month kidnapping ordeal. He went to a mental competency hearing for her accused kidnapper, Wander Barzi, and afterward said his daughter's getting along fine, making up for lost time in school. They mentioned that the 16-year-old Moppet's acting like a lot of 16-year-old girls, trying to get her driver's license. She can't wait to get on the road.
You know, she's enjoying life. It's great. It really is.
So she'll soon be driving.
Okay. I've gone on and on and on. I should be nice to Mormons this week. The Mormons, because you know what? Because they're spending advertising money on our station. We've got the Church of
Jesus.
So
is Billy Graham.
Church of Jesus. Can I just tell you this? We've got, in the space of 3 months, we've had the Promise Keepers, Billy Graham, and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints all spending money. Do you suppose they even have radios? I mean, is it like, do they even bother to turn on the station before they start writing out a check? Like, we've got this subject line, what the hell is happening? Rick, did I just hear a commercial from Mormons on your show? Do your advertisers listen to the show? Apparently not. Keep it up, though. It's good to stick it to Mormons whenever possible. Take their money and then rip them a new one in the same show. If only they knew! Ha 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 ha. Says, Otto. So there you go.
They probably thought they were buying the fish.
Yeah, probably.
Is that O-T-T-O?
O-T-T-O. Otto. Not A-U-T-O.
Bob Barker is celebrating his 80th birthday today. Happy birthday, Bob, and owner of his personal milestone. In his 32 years as host of The Price is Right, CBS is airing a primetime edition of the long-running game show tomorrow night. With Barker getting up there in age and a long history with the show, there are many who wonder how much longer he plans to host. Well, he said, quote, "This morning when I got up, I thought it would be nice to retire. Then I came downstairs and thought, I'll do another year." Rumors of Barker's retirement comes up every year, and as far as everyone knows, Bob is not leaving. The Price is Right. So he's 80 years old.
Everybody have a favorite Price is Right game?
Plinko.
Everybody, yeah, that's what I'm saying, Plinko. Plinko and that thing, is it, what's the thing where you roll the big red dice? The big red foam dice? There's also the punch-out board where you punch your hand in and you bring out a thing and then there's a deal and it does a thing. But the best of all, the very best Price is Right game for me is that one where the guy goes up the mountain and he yodels. You know, he goes, you know, and he goes up the mountain, you know, blah, blah, blah,
and if
blah,
he gets
blah, blah,
too far, then he falls off.
They have, in Vegas, they have a Price is Right slot machine now, and it's got a little video screen portion. And it's got a various Price is Right games that you can play on it. And my favorite is when it does the yodeling mountaineer guy. Rick, that Beaver to Music spot, where that was professionalism. Bravo, my friend. Keep up the A-plus promoting. F Matt with his excuses.
This F Matt is brought to you by EditHere.com.
That's what I'm talking about. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. More on the way, including an Aussie watch and a grave watch. Stay there. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Live from Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
KOTK Newsroom. Here's your Northwest update.
Good afternoon. I'm T. Riley. A small single-engine plane missing in Yamhill County. Search and rescue workers looking for the plane. The pilot apparently was traveling with a companion yesterday afternoon. The plane landed safely with no... Wait a minute. This story is wrongly written. Forget about that whole thing. A single father of three in Kaiser has been jailed after a 15-year-old girl accused him of taking sexually explicit photographs of her. Norman Shirley being held in Marion County Jail. Former Oregon Republican Executive Director Darrell Howard has been hired to manage State Senator Jackie Winter's campaign for Congress. Nobody knows who they are. A loophole at Eagle Point High School allowed a 15-year-old girl to cut classes for more than a month, fooling officials and her mom. They won't let it happen again. Portland Metro forecast. Rain this afternoon. Highs 45 to 50. Same for tonight and for the weekend. Tim Riley, KOTK News.